Romans 12, 9. Love, what does yours say? Very good. Real. I've seen that version too. I've seen another version that says genuine. All these mean the same thing. Thank you. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Love must be sincere. Love must be genuine. Love must be real. And that's what we're talking about. Something that's real is tangible. It can be tested. It can be looked at. Can you test an emotion? No. Test my love. I love you. Test that. We can certainly ask God, but one to another, we can't tell. God will know. You're right. But I can't tell if, you can't tell if I'm telling, I love you. What is that? There's no way to test a feeling, is it? Because feelings change with the wind. But here is something concrete, and it says that love must be sincere. Love must be genuine. In other words, it must be real. And I clue you in to make it simple. There's only one thing real. And that's what? God and His Word. We want to see if something is real, something is genuine, something is sincere. We compare it against God's Word. Correct? And here what God's saying is it must be real. And He's going to go on to explain exactly what that means. I think Esther made a good point. The first thing that we have to know about love is, do we love God? You know? Sammy can tell me all day he loves me. But if he can't love God, how can he love me? We have to have a basis point or a starting point. If you can't love God, you certainly can't love me. God is more lovable than I am. I know it's hard to believe, but God is more lovable than I am. If you can't love Him, that's the end right there. That's where love starts, is your relationship with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you? Now, this is simple. This is God telling you what He wants. Right? This is what God asks of us. To fear the Lord your God. Fear. That was the last 4 weeks that Donovan was talking about our relationship with God. Who God is to us. Is God like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny? We put him up on a shelf and pull him out once a year? Or when we need him? Is that our relationship? Is that God, who God is to us? Something on a shelf that we can... Is He a genie in a bottle that we can pull Him down and rub His belly and ask for something, then put Him back on the shelf? A lot of times that's what the attitude that God sees from us, right? He only hears from us or sees us when we need something. You ever have a friend like that? That the minute the phone rings, you know, oh, they want something. The only time they call me is when they want something. We've all thought that, or at least said it. I know I've said it. There are people that only time you hear from them is when they want something from you. Family, yeah, yep. More often than not. But what's our attitude when we think of that? We don't like that. How do you think God feels when we only go to Him when we want something? Things are going good. We don't need them. Put them back on the shelf with Santa Claus and our Christmas ornaments, right? We'll pull them out when we need them. But that's what it means by to fear the Lord, to have the right respect, the right relationship with Him all the time. This is how we show our love for Him. The second thing it says in Deuteronomy, to walk in obedience to Him. Period. There's several scriptures say to love God is to obey Him, right? Isn't that something that we all want? We address our children. Oh, My son Shane is just great. What's Kenny saying? He listens to me. Oh, my son, he's a troublemaker. I don't know what to do with him. What's that mean? That means he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't obey me, right? That's what we want, is obedience in our lives. So God is same thing. He's asking one thing, that we're obedient to him. Nothing else. He's not asking you to go save China, right? He's simply asking you, whenever I say something or ask you, would you please do it? That's all you're going to be judged for. When you stand in front of him, he is not going to judge you on anything he's never asked you to do, has he? You're going to be judged on what he's asked and what you haven't or have did. I love the story of the two guys that were in front of him. He told them, get away from me. I never seen you. I never knew you. Not seen you. I never knew you. And they said, but God, we saved people. We drove out demons. We spread your word. We did all these, just a list of greatest accomplishments anybody could want. What's he say? Get away from me. I didn't know you. What he was telling them, that's not what I asked you to do. Your whole life could be like this, simply like the guy that was asked to go pray for Paul when his eyes were shut. We never hear any more from that guy. Maybe that's all God ever asked of him. What if he didn't do that, but yet he went and done everything else? If you asked your kids to, I'm going to be running late. Will you have dinner done so I can eat and run when I get home? Sure. You get home, dinner ain't done. What? But I cleaned the living room and garage. But I didn't ask you to do that. That did not help me, right? Now I've got to go somewhere and I'm hungry. Obedience is the greatest thing that we can give to God. And you know what? It's the greatest thing for us. Anything that God asks us to do is better for us than it is for God, because God doesn't need help. We need help. Lord of mercy, look at Sammy. Now there's needy, right? And we're right in line with him. We all have needs that we don't even know about half of them. And it says also in Deuteronomy, to walk in obedience, to love him. That's where love starts, like I said earlier. Love starts with loving God, right? That's why if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be in a relationship with somebody that is not a Christian. Simply for the fact that if they don't love God, how can they love you? Like I said, God's probably more lovable than me. It's hard to believe. But if you can't love God, you sure can't love me. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. What's he asking for? 100%. That's all. When he asks you to do something, do it to the best of his ability. Well, Lord, I did it to the best of my ability. He's not asking for that. He's giving you everything you need, or he wouldn't ask you to do something, right? But yet sometimes we fall short because I just couldn't do it. Usually that means I didn't want to do it. But we have to get that basis first, that we love God, right? That's our starting point whenever we're talking about real love, genuine love, is it has to start with you love God more than anything, right? Anything, period. More than your family, more than anything, you love God. Because everything you have, God gave you, including your family, your children, your friends, whatever, right? Everything good and everything bad comes from God. Nothing happens. I hate that term that, God does bad things. No. We're the ones judging. When God does something, he does it for a reason. We're the ones that decide, well, that's good. When he asked me to go to Hawaii and preach, well, that's good. Asked me to go to Haiti and preach, that's bad. Right? I don't want to eat dirt. Come back like poor Brian, sick for 12 years or something, some kind of wild bug in him. Nobody wants that, and that's why we say, well, that's bad. What that means is that's something I don't want to do. In God's eyes, that's good. So there is no good or bad. When God asks you to do it, you just do it. Don't judge it. Who are you to judge God? But love has to start with loving God. And in Mark 12:33, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength. This was a question that someone had asked him, how do we fulfill the law, Jesus? What's the law say? And he broke it down to two things. Love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And what was the second part? Yes, you're right, but add something to it. Thank you. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? It's kind of strange that he put that in there. You know why? No, most of us don't like ourselves. Most of us do not like ourselves, right? See, I'm the exception. I love myself. Fred, well, Fred should. I look in the mirror and I say, I am tomorrow. But what that is actually showing is if we can't love ourselves, and that's a hard step. And sometimes we can love other people before we love ourselves. So many people believe in prayer for other people. They're the first ones over there to pray for them. But when something happens in their life, they need a healing, well, I don't know if God will heal me. But I know he'll heal you. Why? Well, he loves you more than me is what they're saying, what you're saying sometimes. The past. Anywhere in the Word can somebody show me where God changed something that happened? That God ever changed the past? No. Don't worry about the past. Worry about the future. And the way to worry about the future is make the right decisions now. Your bad things in the past was decisions you made that were wrong, right? Make the right decisions now and you'll have a good future. I think it was last time I spoke, last Sunday I spoke, I gave that one story about the lady that wanted me to pray for her daughter. She knew I could heal her daughter. She's grabbing me, taking me over there. Yeah, pray for my daughter. I know you can get her healed. But I don't need prayer. You know, I've been to every televangelist, every faith healer in the world, and God hasn't healed me, so I don't guess he wants to heal me. But I know you can pray for my daughter. Again, her love for her daughter was greater than her love for herself. And God is saying, you have to love yourself. Because it's going to hinge on this next thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you hate yourself, you're going to hate your neighbor. It's the truth. Same way as if you hate God, you're going to hate yourself. One is dependent on the other. It all starts with loving God. But you have to love yourself. How many here did God create? All right. I know. It's not a trick question. Should I raise my hand? I don't know. You never know. But no, it is not. God created every one of us. Why? Because he loves us. Right? And if God loves you, why can't you love yourself? You're not loving yourself because you're perfect, right? I'm not saying that because we are not perfect, but you're loving yourself knowing that God created you. God has some purpose for you. God loves you. If God loves you, that's good enough for me, right? Love yourself the way God loves you, not what you do. Don't judge yourself on what you do. Judge yourself on what God says. All right. Now, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? People that live around you? Nah, that's too easy. Most of us live around people we're just like, right? That's why we're there. Your neighbors are probably about making the same money, leaving look like you, you know? It's easy to love them. What God is saying, and he gave a great example when he talked about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was what? Someone that stopped and helped somebody on the road. He said he was a good neighbor. That's the example Jesus used. He didn't even know who that guy was. Where he lived, he was simply saying your neighbor is somebody that's in need. Who should you help? somebody that needs help, right? That's how you show love. That's how this action comes about. In Matthew 5 again, at verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, right? Is that biblical? Well, let's see. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. By loving your enemies, it's not saying condone what they're doing, right? Just the opposite. To show love is sometimes to show correction. You know, somebody you hate, I don't care what they do. Well, they may run out in the street and get run over. Good. I don't care. But God is saying, have the attitude that, tell them, don't go out there. Don't run in the street. You're going to get hurt, even though you're enemy. They're your enemy, even though they persecute you, right? Show, that's what throws those heaping coals on them. I throw out an example. I don't even know why this hit me from a long time back. I was a supervisor at General Motors. I had about 30 guys working for me. And this one guy, I had all the troublemakers. They sent them all to me. Just the way it was. I could work with troublemakers because I was a troublemaker. But this one guy, he missed all kind of time. He had a lousy attitude. He was terrible. Worst employee that you could think of. But he always came in with a doctor's statement. You know, I had him, I think on the little things he hadn't done, I had him up to 2 weeks off. Next thing, if he did something wrong, he would get a month off without pay. And he comes in to work. He had missed 2 days. He comes in. I have your doctor's statement. Kind of looks down. I said, can you have, you were off 2 days. Do you have a doctor's statement? He looked down. I said, yes or no? He said, no. I said, I could take you right now and throw you out of here for a month. Can you afford to live a month? I mean, he barely had a year in then. Everybody was new. He said, no. I said, well, why do you do this to yourself? You're not hurting me by not being here. You're hurting yourself. So I'm going to throw this one away. I want to show you that I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm telling you, when you started working here, you agreed to work. So we'll just tear this one up and throw it away. And you know, it was unbelievable. From that point on, that guy's whole attitude changed. One of the best employees I ever had, and actually a friend by the end. The main thing is, with too many people, they get on one subject and that's all they teach and preach on. You hear what we heard Kenny last week. You hear all kind of stuff. Pastor John brings a variety of people in to teach on a variety of subjects. The whole Word of God. It says preach the whole world, Word of God. Now, I will say that he doesn't do that. And he says that. He said, well, you know, there's enough bad in the world. I just want to talk about good. Okay. So you're withholding some of the truth. Is that a lie when you withhold the truth? You make the judgment on that one. But to love your enemies, that's not easy to do, is it? Loving yourself, loving God. So far, it's been easy. When he talks about loving our enemies, it's not easy, but it's something that we have to do to see them change. Are all going to change? Of course not. Right? Everybody's going to have enemies. Yes, Esther? Shane? Hold on 1 second. Shane's coming. Go ahead.
There's a certain person in our lives that actually made our life very, very miserable, and actually took us to a took us to a really bad place financially. And I prayed for this individual for a long time, and just lifting him up to the Lord and asking God, would he defend us to this individual? And I actually got a chance to minister to his mom, and his mom, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but whatever I said to her, she actually told her son that. And her son, who has hated us for a long time, he actually turned his heart, like his, you can see that God has done something in his heart, and it's been about 15 years of prayer. But that individual now looks at Fred and I like we are God's children. He even said it with his mouth. He said, because he heard his mom told us about some of my issues health-wise, he did say because Esther's in the church, her and Fred would be taken care of. I mean, and I know that that's, I might have not shown love all the time to him, but God knew, I guess because I prayed and I knew that my heart was wrong toward him, I believe that God changed that individual's heart because of, you know, because of the little Absolutely. Pieces of love or whatever, however you want to see it, because God does see, if we try, even if it's a little, even if it's tainted love, even if it's,
yep.
I mean, so I'm very thankful, and it does bring me joy that
yes.
I know he will come to know Christ before he dies. I know
that is a perfect example of how loving your enemy changes them. That's what we want to see, is them changed and going to heaven, right? Who do we hate enough we want to see go to hell? You know, there's a lot of people I don't like, I'm sorry. But I don't hate anybody enough that I would want to see them in hell. Nobody that I know of. All right, end with one last thing here. In Leviticus, remember we're talking about love in action. Leviticus 19:34. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Loving the foreigner. That's a great example with everything that's we're hearing today with the election with Trump and, you know, so many illegals coming in and all of this stuff. What does the word of God say about that? It's simple. If you go into a foreign land, you obey their laws, their regulations, and their rules, as long as it doesn't go against the Word of God. That's all, right? In Israel, there was all kind of foreigners, but what were they expected to do? To act as an Israeli. You're coming here. I didn't invite you. You wanted to come here. Well, why did you want to come here unless you like this place? If you like it, how do you think we got this way, right? It's not that you're changing who you are, right, in any way, shape, or form. You know, you're still Hispanic. You're still Arabic. Poor hillbilly, Irish boy here, right? Same difference. We all in the United States come from somewhere, but we simply have to embrace the American ideal. If not, why are you here, right? Just for economic gain? Well, it's a lot more than that, isn't it? Right? But that's what the Word of God says, that the foreigner should be treated well. As long as they obey the laws of the land and everything, they should be treated with the same love and respect that a native-born person is, right? Israel would open with trade with everybody if they followed their rules. If you remember in 1st or 2nd Kings, I forgot what it was, the one king got mad and locked the gates, because the foreigners were coming in and selling on the Sabbath day and cheating, doing some things that they weren't supposed to. He locked the gates and wouldn't let them in. Simply told him, what right do you have to come in here? None. The only right you have to come in here is the right that I give you, right? And only thing I ask you is to obey our laws, and which is the laws of God. As long as we're asking someone to obey the laws of God, we can't go wrong, can we? Human laws, of course, are ridiculous. But it doesn't change the fact. Our immigration laws are terrible. That automatically, if someone reaches shore here and they're from Haiti, we deport them. If someone from Cuba reaches our shores here, we keep them. Why? Those are laws that we have made. That's not God's laws, is it? Why is a Cuban better than a Haitian? It's just simply stuff we've put in that's not the way that God operates. Anybody that comes here sincerely and wants to be an American and go with our ideals and loves God, wants to change, we should embrace them, not ostracize them, just the opposite, embrace them. And it's not because you're of color. I'm white as can be. But you know, when the Irish come here, they were ostracized. Most people wouldn't have anything to do with them because of the religion. Most were Catholic. That was foreigners, like people with two heads at that time. Somebody was Catholic, there's something wrong with them. Right? But with everything that's going on today, simply remember that the Word of God tells us how to treat a foreigner. But it also tells the foreigner how to act too. So it's a two-way street. If they're acting the way they're supposed to, we're supposed to act the same way that we're supposed to, and that's simply godly. Amen? So remember, love is not a feeling. Love is an action, right, that you show. Don't tell me you love me. Show that you love me. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to close in prayer. We got prayer down front. Kenny, would you close us in prayer, please, since you got the microphone right next to you?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for just the beginning of this series, Lord God. And I pray that you just continue to reveal to us your love for us, Father God, so that we, in turn, can love others, Lord God. Father, that you would be represented and glorified in the midst of this. We lift up today's service, Father God. I know that there may be a lot of people out there on vacation and whatnot. But, Father, we're here to honor you. We're here to bring glory to your name, Lord God. We're thankful that we're able to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ and be united, Father God, with a purpose that is there to glorify you, Lord God. Let there just be a joyful noise made to your ears, Father God, as we give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, Father God, to you, Lord God. Bless the service in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.